Man, you may be seated. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about Paul. Paul. You see the way that the book of Galatians starts? Paul. I want to show you something that perhaps you know. I want you to go back with me to Romans chapter number 1. Would you do that? Romans chapter 1. And here's what we're going to do.
Go to this, Brother Tracy. Thank you. Here's what we're going to do. Now, this man, Paul, the Holy Spirit just said, no, that's not what I want you to do. I started to get right into verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and through on into verse number 5 tonight, but I doubt I'll get past the first word. I just want to talk to you about Paul, okay? Who is this guy? And I do not say that disrespectfully. Who is this man, Paul? You know, oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll begin to talk about Bible characters, and we know them by their name, and we know very little about them. Very little. And I think that we make grave mistakes when we just kind of skip over words or events or personalities, and we just kind of take for granted that behind the name, there's a great story. You know, even tonight, maybe as you sit there and each one that stood up, you say, you know, I didn't know that about that lady, or I didn't know that about this young lady, or I didn't know that about that man or that gentleman or that situation. Well, that's the way it is with every individual. And it's good to get to know people. It's just good to take time and invest in people's lives and get to know them. I want to do that with Paul. Now, we all know some things about Paul, probably surface things. And I want to go behind the scenes. Where did this guy come from? What's he doing? I mean, how did he get involved in, well, writing Scripture? Why did God choose him? Well, what's different about him? Did you know there's 27 books in the New Testament. 13 of those 27 books began the exact same way. How many of you knew that? Raise your hand. Okay, just a few. 13 of the 27 New Testament books began the exact same way. Now why? Because of this guy that I want to talk to you about a little bit. Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 1. Paul. All right? Paul. Go to 1 Corinthians. That's the next book over. Just turn back past Romans 16 and you'll find 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this letter that's going to be written to this group of believers in Corinth where a church was planted. And there's a letter written to it. It's a first letter because it's one of two. And this is the way it starts. Paul. Now, if you go over to the second letter that was written to these believers there in Corinth, or the Corinthian believers, the second letter to the Corinthians, and you go past 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and the letter begins, Paul. And then you go on past 2 Corinthians and you get past 2 Corinthians chapter number 13 and you get to Galatians chapter number 1, and we saw that, Paul. You get past Galatians chapter 6 and you get to Ephesians, and here's a letter. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, here's a letter that's written to the group of believers that were meeting there in Ephesus where a church was planted, and there's a letter written to them, and look how it begins, Paul. You go past Ephesians chapter 6 and you get to that church there at Philippi, and here's the letter, Philippians chapter 1, Paul. I'd say that this guy is pretty significant. All right? You go past the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians and you turn over to a letter that was written to the church of Colossae, and you find where the letter that was written to the church there begins in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul. You go beyond Colossians chapter number 4 and you get to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the first of two letters that are written to the believers there in Thessalonica, and you see in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse number 1, Paul. You go past the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, you get to the first chapter of the second letter that's written to the Thessalonians, and you find that second letter written to the Thessalonians, Paul. And then you get past the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and you see where there's a man, he's writing to a young protege of his own son in the faith. And it begins in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1, Paul. You do the same as you pass 1 Timothy chapter 6 and you get to 2 Timothy, Paul. Amen. I mean, listen, There's no way that even a casual observer can look at this and say, hey, there's something different about this guy. What is it about this man? Now, God can use anyone he wants to use, right? He can. He could use Mark to write a gospel, and he did. Matthew to write one, and he did. Luke to write a gospel and the book of Acts, and he did. John to write a gospel account and epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of the Revelation, and he did. Jude, God can use people. But now, when God uses a man to write 13 that he addressed Paul, and then I personally believe that there's evidence in the Bible that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, that means over half of the books in the New Testament was written by this guy, Paul. And when I began to study, and we'll go back to Galatians chapter 1, when I began to study what the book of Galatians is about, and I've done some study in the book of Galatians, I've heard it preached out of many times, I've taught through the book, I've preached from the book, I noticed that there was a passion about this man that it come out in the book of Galatians like it didn't anywhere else. All right, I mean, Paul was a very passionate man. And we're going to see some things in Scripture tonight and then probably next week that's going to, I hope, show us something to say, you know what? Man, this guy Paul was different. He was an all-in guy. Okay? I mean, Paul was never half into anything. Now, I don't know if you've ever met someone that's half into things. They will drive you crazy. All right? I mean, I can't be around people that's half into things. You know those people, don't you? I mean, they're the people where everybody gets a trophy. I just can't do that. I'm just not cut from that cloth. Hey, listen, it's all the way. If I'm going to do something, let's do it all the way. Amen. If we're going to do something, let's do it right. If we're going to do something, let's give it our all. Now, Paul was that way. He had a passion. Paul said, if I'm going to put my hand to the plow, I'm going to put my hand to the plow with a passion. You know, that's what's killing Christianity today. A lot of half-hearted folks who say they're saved and won't even tell other people about being saved. Listen, do you know what people that know that we're saved, that we people who won't tell other people that they're saved and they know you're saved, they don't believe you're saved. They don't believe that what you've got to tell them is worth telling. Why? Because you haven't told them. You haven't told them. If what we have to tell is worth telling, tell it. Amen. You know, this week we had someone, and I can't go into detail, who drove to our house late at night to tell us something. I mean, they were excited about it. And they came by and said, got to tell you something. So I'm downstairs with Marcus and Scott, and we're having a talk, and Sharon says, Dale, come up. And she told me, what's up? You know, it's kind of late. Got some news. Got to tell you something. Why? Because it was worth the telling. It was something that involved passion. And it couldn't wait. Well, when we're saved, and people know we're saved, and we're not telling them we're saved, we're not telling them that they need to be saved, they have to question, Paul wasn't that way. Paul was passionate. Galatians chapter 1, Paul, he said, I'm an apostle, but it's not of men. As a matter of fact, Paul said, when I got saved and Jesus Christ told me to carry a message, the disciples would not give me the right hand of fellowship. They were afraid of me. And they didn't want anything to do with me. Well, now, before we're too hard on the disciples, you had to know a little something about Paul. All right? That did happen. Paul got saved. All right? And when he got saved, turn in your Bible, if you would, to Acts chapter number 7. Paul tells us a little bit about himself. Now, while you're turning to Acts chapter 7, hold your finger there in Acts chapter 7, and then go to Acts chapter number 22. Hold your finger in Acts 7, and then go to Acts 22, and we'll find out some things about this man, Paul. Now, Paul was a very intelligent man, all right? Now, there are those who say, well, you know, Christianity is, you have to assassinate your brains to be a Christian. Some of the wisest, most intelligent people I've ever met in my life were Christians. Living by faith is not for dummies. Amen. Paul was a very intelligent man. Acts chapter number 22, this is the account of this man that we're talking about, Paul. This is just some of his credentials, okay? Look in verse number 3, Acts 22 and verse number 3. I am verily a man. You see that in Acts chapter 22, verse 3. Is everyone there? I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, when you study out this man, he was one of the greatest theologians that was living in this age. And Paul said, I sit at his feet. I was one of his greatest students. He said, I was at the feet. And at the feet means that he was tutoring me. Wherever he went, I went. All right? I see it in chapter number 22, verse number 3. I was at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and was zealous toward God as you are, all are this day. Now, what did Paul do with his teaching? Now you say, well, so what? He knew a lot. That's not where it ended with Paul. Paul took what he learned and he put it into practice, even to the point to where he did not allow emotion to stop him from what he was doing. What do you mean? See, some people, they learn things and then someone gets a little emotional or gets a little trying and it'll stop them from putting what they've learned into practice. You know what I'm talking about? That's not the way it was with Paul. With Paul, he believed with all of his heart what he was being taught theologically, that it didn't matter. Men, women, children, death, jail, it didn't matter. Because the bottom line with him was truth. You listening? Truth. And when Paul received it, he received it as his truth. And he carried it out. Look in chapter number 22, verse number 4. And I persecuted this way. Now, what way is that? Well, when you read, and we will in just a moment, back in Acts chapter number 7, when the church was born in Jerusalem, when the Holy Ghost in chapter number 2 came on the day of Pentecost and called out a group of believers and the church was formed there in Jerusalem and there was a church plant there under the moving of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the man of God, Peter, and they began to share the gospel in that area and many, many Jews were saved. Paul looked upon them as being of this way that was in opposition to the truth from which he was learning. You following me? And Paul said, oh no, we're not having that. We're not having that. They're not going to come in my backyard and share their lies and their heresies. I'm going to stand up for God and what's right. And he thought he was. Look at verse number 4. He had learned in verse number 3, and then verse number 4, he was putting it into practice. I persecuted this way unto the death. Wasn't a game to him. Serious business to it. And he said, I persecuted unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And he goes on to say in verse number 5, as also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders from whom I received letters of the brethren and went into Damascus to bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. In other words, Paul was on a mission. He so believed what he had been taught about the law and what he had been taught about God and what he had been taught in the religion. Paul was a member of what was called the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was of the strictest orders, one of the groups that were of the strictest orders of the Pharisees. And Paul, listen, he didn't just take it in. Brethren, when we come to church here, we don't come to church here just to take it in. We come to take it in, but we leave to give it out. It's not just to take it in, I'm going to see how much I can learn tonight. Well, that's good. But now you got to do something with what you learn. Amen. Because if you don't, you'll quit learning. God will not give light where light has already been given and not used. So when we learn things, we've got to put them into practice so God can continue to give us light so that we can continue to grow in what we do. So as we grow in what we know, then we can grow in what we do or practice, all right? So Paul was this guy. Now, if you read Philippians chapter 3, you'll learn some more about Paul, the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, it tells us some things about Paul. But I want to show you what happened here. Acts chapter number 7. So the church was born in Jerusalem, and there was this new way. Now, it's a different way. Now, I don't have time to go into it in detail tonight, but don't you for one moment think when Jesus was on this earth. Now, listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to document and verify everything I tell you from the Scripture. But there are people who are really mixed up about this, okay? When Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, and you go home and write that down, Matthew 10, when Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, and if you'll read Matthew 10, verse number 3 and 4, you'll find out that those 12 disciples that we all know as the disciples, he chose them, he called them by name, and he sent them out. And when he sent them out, he didn't say, I want you to preach the gospel of the grace of God in the church. That's not what he said. He said, I want you to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now listen carefully. That's a different gospel. That gospel has been interrupted because of the gospel of grace. And we'll get to that later. I want you to know this. This is really, listen, there are some people that are trying to mix law and grace. That's what happened right here to the churches of Galatia. And Paul got really, really upset about it. And it ought to upset us when people try to change what God has said. And I want to tell you, it does upset me. Okay, it upsets me. You say, well, preacher, you ought not be upset about it. No, you ought to be upset about it. See, I want to love things God loves, and I want to hate things God hates. You say, well, God doesn't hate anything. I beg your pardon. God hates sin. Now, I'd like to stand up here and tell you that I hate it. I don't like it. And some of it I hate, but God's still working on me. All right? Some of you look like you got halos over your head. Do I need to help you to remind you of some things? I want to love things that God loves too. I don't want to just be, one-sided. Yeah, I want to hate things God hates, but I want to love things that God loves. Right? Does God love souls? Do you love souls? Now, before you say amen, you better think about how many you tried to win this week. What have you done to show you love souls? With their mouths, Jesus said, they do always serve me. But their heart is far from me. See, I don't want to be guilty of that. But I can be, and I have been. So we have to be careful, don't we? Matthew chapter 10. When Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, are you listening? This is what he told them. Do not. Are you ready for this? Do not go unto the Gentiles, but unto the lost house of Israel. Does that shock you a little bit? Jesus said, I don't want you preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the Gentiles. Read it when you get home. Matthew chapter 10. Don't go to the Gentiles. Just go to the lost house of Israel. Why? Because this gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. Now, you're in Acts chapter 7. I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 1 because there's a connection. You do realize after Jesus, see, the Jews, the disciples, never, listen carefully now, planted a Gentile church. You know that, right? That many. The disciples, after Jesus was crucified, and when he resurrected in Acts chapter 1, they still thought the kingdom was going to be set up. Look, if you would, Acts chapter 1, are you there? Look in verse number 6. Now, after Jesus, the reason I know that Luke wrote the book of Acts is verse number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Now, if you'll read Luke, you'll find that this is the person that Luke addressed that gospel account to. Okay? And it says that of all that Jesus began to do, of course, Luke tells us what Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse number 6, when they therefore, the disciples, were come together, they asked him, Jesus, after he had resurrected, this is right before his ascension, they asked him, the disciples, therefore were come together, they asked him, Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? See, they had been preaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. And they thought, well, this is it. He resurrected to set up his kingdom. Because you see, the prophets and the apostles couldn't see the church. Amen. The church is what's called parenthetical. Do you know what I'm talking about? See, the reason that if we're not careful, we'll think, well, you know what? God owed this to me. He owed speaking to me. He owed me getting saved. I'm telling you something. God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe me anything. Our forefathers were heathens, pagans. Hey, listen, it wasn't our forefathers as Gentiles. They didn't have the tabernacle, the temple, the priesthood. That's the commonwealth of Israel, right? We're outside. He came into his own and would have set up the kingdom. But guess what? His own received him not. That's John 1:11. Is that what the word teaches? And then, as Paul wrote over in Romans chapter 9 and 10, chapter 11, that we're like that branch, you know, that's been grafted in. God said, you know, I'm going to work the Gentiles into this deal. This is where we got in, brethren. All right? So I'm trying to show you that the apostles, the disciples, those 12 disciples, they were going out preaching the kingdom. Well, now Paul doesn't like this. Jesus resurrect, and here's this guy in Acts chapter 7. Did you keep your finger there? It's probably sore by now. Amen. It's probably got print marks on it. In Acts chapter number 7, if you look in verse number 51, you'll find where this guy named Stephen, who was one of those seven that were called out, right? And he stands up, and I mean, he's giving them what for? I like preaching like Stephen preached. Amen. Stephen's laying it down, brother. And he told him in verse number 51, he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. And I mean, he preached. And the Bible says they stopped their ears. I mean, it just, the convicting power of God cut them to the heart. And they began to stone him, and they stoned him to the death. Verse number 57 says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now here's our man. You say, well, I thought his name was Paul. Well, God changes his name, and we'll get to that. But here's our man, Saul. How many of you know what the word Saul means? Raise your hand. You know what Saul means? Big man. Big man. So here's Saul standing over there, and they're stoning Stephen to the death. He's big man. Y'all take care of my light work over there. And they come and they lay, look at verse number 58. It says, they, as their witnesses, they lay their clothes at the young man's feet whose name was Saul. Big man. Touching the law, blameless. Big man. people go against the way that I've been taught, they're going to pay for it. I'm getting papers, and I'm going after them, bringing them in, and they're going to be punished by death. Big man. And God said, I got some news for you, Paul. It's Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1. You there? Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And a lot of people put a period right there, but I want you to notice these next few words. They're very important. Except the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. It's all they knew. It's all they knew. The kingdom. The message at home. Our people. It's all they knew. And so God spread these people out. You know what happened to those people who got spread out? Did you read chapter 8? Did you see what's happening here? You see it? They scattered. And the Bible says in verse number 4 of Acts chapter 8, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. God moved them. He had to move them a little bit. But I want you to watch how people can get so caught up in the way they do things that they it's just hard to break out of it. Hey, I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. Hold your place here and turn to Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter number 11, I want you to read something. This, when you read it, you just read it along, and all of a sudden you come to Acts chapter 11, you read verse number 19, and it just hits you like a ton of bricks. Like, wow, that's me. That's me there. Acts chapter 11. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. You say, hey man, boy, that got them. But now read the rest of it. To none but unto the Jews only. And they just couldn't break. They just couldn't break. You know? That's all they knew. You see what's happening here? You see what's happening? God used a man. He said, hey, we're going to persecute and we're going to send them out. We're going to scatter them. They're going to preach the word everywhere. Isn't that what it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 4? And so they went out, but they that were scattered abroad, they went out into these other places, but they sought out Jewish synagogues, and the only people they preached to were Jews. And God said, no. No. But that's all right, because God had his man. We'll close here in Acts chapter 9. So in Acts chapter 9, this is where we'll close tonight. Listen, I don't know about you, but this is just really interesting how God is at work behind the scenes. It's amazing what God can do. It's amazing. So here's this guy, and we're reading through the Bible, and it says Paul, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Paul. 2 Corinthians, Paul. Galatians, Paul. Ephesians, Paul. Philippians, Paul. Colossians, Paul. Paul, Paul, Paul. Who is this guy? Who is this Paul? It's this guy who was persecuting and killing Christians, and God said, I got something I want you to do. I mean, you talk about irony. And so Acts chapter 9 says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, and by the way, that's just kind of the way it happens, isn't it? You know? I asked the young lady last night, Kayla, Brother Dan's granddaughter, and said, what made you want to be saved? I don't know, just felt like it's something I need to do. Remember when you got in conviction? Amen. I think some people think, I'm going to plan this out. Listen, God's the one who's got the plan. Amen. We think we have the plan. God's got the plan, rather. Now, here's Saul thinking, I've got this thing down. I'm going to go down here and I'm going to get some letters and I'm going to go down here and do this and I'm just going to carry out business as usual. And God said, no, not today. Today's going to be a different day. Amen? Today is not going to be business as usual. So here he goes and he gets his papers and he's heading down to Damascus. No telling how many times he's done this, all right? I mean, this is what he does. This is what this man does. And so he's on his way to do what he does. And then the Bible says, and suddenly, in verse number 3, there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, there's a lot to be said about that, and I don't have the time to go into it. You mess with God's people, you mess them with God. So be careful about messing with God's people. He didn't say, why are you persecuting my church? He said, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my children? He said, why are you persecuting me? Now, if we have parents in the house tonight, and we do, you know, you mess with my kids, you mess with me. You mess with me through messing with my kids, it's not going to end well for you. Amen. I mean, every parent's got a little bit of that in them. No, not me, preacher. Okay. All right. So here's Saul, and he gets saved, and God blinds him. God brings him down. I mean, he humbles him. And here's this fellow. He says, named Ananias, in verse number 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call up on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Now here's the change. Here's the change. God said, I've got a mission for this man. It's not the mission I had for Peter or James or John. Right? Absolutely. Read again. Matthew 10, Acts 1. He told them specifically, do not go to the Gentiles. But now this man, he said, he's going to the Gentiles. But he said, that's not where his ministry is going to end. He said in verse number 15, before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And of course, Ananias went his way and entered to the house and put in his hand on him. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now this is where we're going to end tonight. We'll pick up here next week. Now this man Saul is going to get his sight, and he's going to try to mingle in with these disciples that we know, James and Peter, good guys, okay? I mean, they're good people. And they're going to say, oh, wait a minute, oh, I don't know. But can I tell you, God always has somebody that he can trust. Who was the man that God could trust? Barnabas. Barnabas. And Barnabas took Saul in, and as they say, the rest is history. I'm telling you. Now, Saul means big man. Big, you know. Point the way, I'll kill him. I'll throw them all in jail. God saved him. Struck him with blindness for 3 days. He got rejected by all the believers. And he said, you know, I don't like this Saul stuff. God said, I want your name to be Paul. You know what Paul means? Little man. Look it up. Every man has to become a little man before God will use him. Do you know that? I think people think, well, you know, I'm not a celebrity. God can't use me. God's not looking for celebrities. God's looking for people just like you and me. People who are willing to do whatever he asks us to do. I think sometimes people think God's looking for extraordinary people. No, God's looking for ordinary people to do extraordinary things. If extraordinary people do extraordinary things, it's what's expected. Right? What do you expect out of extraordinary people? Extraordinary things. But when God chooses ordinary people, and by the way, it was the common people who heard him gladly. Search the scriptures. And when he took this extraordinary man, he had to make him an ordinary man before he could do extraordinary things through him. This man, God used in a mighty way, Paul. He knew a lot about law, a lot. And when people tried to mix it with grace, it upset him. And that's why the book of Galatians is written. And that's why we'll study it together. All right? A lot of great truths in the book of Galatians. Brethren, law and grace do not mix. Law and grace do not mix. Both of them can be used, and both of them are used. They're needful, but they do not mix. We understand that, right? Everyone understands. Law and grace do not mix. They do not mix. All right, let's stand. It's important that we understand that as we study the book of Galatians, because there were people who went in and said, oh no, you've got to have law in order to live the Christian life. And Paul said, no, no, that's not the way that God wants us to live the Christian life. It's grace. If grace cannot get you to do right, nothing will. Amen. If I love my wife only because God said I had to, it's not real. You understand that, right? If law is the only way that we can do things, it's not going to last. It's not. You have to do it from the heart. We serve God from the heart. Then it's when it gets good. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray as we continue to study this book, we continue to study this man that you've used to write these letters to the church, that we have church doctrine from, that we learn from, what you would have for the church dispensation in which we live. I pray, God, you would help us. Open our eyes. Help us to see in this age in which we live that there's much to do. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be willing to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and do your will. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we could do your will in Jesus' name. Amen.